And so here we are, Worldwide Life through Internet Radio BBS in Paradise, California. I welcome everybody to this show. It's Monday, the September the 12th, 2016. And this is a program which is organized and taken care of by Winfrey, located in Sedona, Arizona. And I know that Wynn has a special guest tonight on the show. We do this usually, as usual, I should say, with a simulcast with a conference call, and we have a bunch of people on the phone. We had a few people that I heard come in here to the door in the last 2 minutes. Thank you so much for being here. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Francis calling from Martinez, California. Hi.
Good evening to you, Francis, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi. Hi, Gail from New Jersey.
Welcome to the call, Gail.
Hi, glad to be here. Thank
you. All right.
Janet and Sasha Leslie.
Hello, Janet. Welcome to the call.
Hello. We're glad to be here.
Oh, fantastic. Who else joined in? Please say a name or location.
I was Helen. Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Hi, hi, thanks.
Who else?
Pick up, Sasha.
Who is this?
Can you hear Dr. Leslie? If not, I have to try something else to get him on. Okay, let me try something else to get him on. Okay.
You try something else.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right. More people joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say a name or location.
Hi, this is Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome to this gathering over here. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Wynn.
And this is Terry.
Hello,
hi,
Terry. Something for you. Thank you so much for being here.
Am I loud? My volume okay?
Your volume is okay, like the same as the rest.
Okay. Is Sasha here? Sasha and Janet?
Janet is here.
Hi, Janet.
I believe she was trying to get the other guest.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Are we on BBS? Are we on BBS yet?
Yes, we are.
Hello, everybody out in BBS land.
So, when I, to my understanding, I know Janet, she spoke up and she said here. And
how is Janet's volume?
That was good, but I believe that she currently is trying to dial in the other person.
All right. Okay. We got an awesome call tonight. Okay.
Are you getting feedback?
No, I haven't called you yet.
That's good.
Welcome, everybody. This is... We're not recording yet. Just a moment.
Yeah. All right. Let me welcome this person. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Yeah, Rick in Iowa City.
We welcome you. And one more.
Hi, Demetrius.
Dimitri, welcome to the call, my friend.
Hi, it's good to hear your voice.
Demetrius.
Hi,
is it Dimitri or Demetrius?
If you talk to me directly, it's Dimitri.
There we go.
If you talk to Heiss about me, it's Demetrius.
Right. That's what I called you, Heiss. It's Dimitri.
Dimitri.
All right. I believe we have a new guest joining in here. Welcome to the call.
Dharmananda is here.
Hi, Dharmananda.
Hi.
I believe we have our guest of honor here, too.
Oh.
Sasha, are you here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Okay, we're going to mute everybody get started, okay?
All right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
912.
This conference is being recorded.
This is September 12th, 2016. Heiss is making sure I know what the date is. Thank you, Heiss. And this is Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And we have some really, really cool guests tonight. And, you know, we don't usually have guests except Carla Rucker, Terry Friedman, and these guys. Terry and I met them at a conference, a UFO conference in, where was it? It was in Phoenix area, wasn't it? No, it was
Indian Reservation.
At the Indian Reservation, Fountain Hills. Is that, that's where we met you? Cause, and I had seen Sasha's website, and his website is called Enki Speaks. Okay, and he talks about, I should let him talk about it, but I'll let him talk. But let me just introduce him. He talks about how he was studying Sumerian culture at UCLA under Zachariah Sitchin, okay? And many of you who have been on the calls regularly know that we've talked about the oldest civilization on our planet that has recorded history. There are civilizations that are advanced and old, but there's no recorded history of them. And they didn't, left no traces. But Sumeria had history. It had clay tablets. And Zachariah Sitchin was the guy that translated the clay tablets and was the first person, I believe, to introduce the story of the Anunnaki gold mines and Enki and Enlil, who were the two brothers that were ended up being kind of diametrically opposed, who engineered, Enki engineered the first, a combination of Anunnaki genes and ape genes to create what was to become their slave race to do their gold mining, which ended up being a good portion of the human race, okay, evolved from the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki identified themselves to the humans they were creating and made out to be gods to them, to keep them under control, and that they called themselves Elohim. So when you read in the Bible about the Elohim, it is most likely referring to the Anunnaki. Now, somehow, I have asked questions about this to our sources, which say they're the Elohim, and they identified the Anunnaki. You know, we've talked about how the Elohim came into this realm and got caught up in reincarnation, and that the Anunnaki were one of the groups. I don't know if they were the only group, but they were one of the groups that evolved from the Elohim, the celestial Elohim. Let's just say, I can't prove that this is all true. This is all that just has come up in my questions. And that they became, it became, how would I say it? They were certainly, from our perspective, not like celestial Elohim. They were humans, they had human-type bodies, and they competed with each other, they fought with each other, they that the early history of our planet was based on the Anunnaki, and there's one author that's done a lot of research on this that believes that the gods of the Old Testament were Anunnaki, okay? And Anunnaki trying to lord over their human subjects or slaves in the role of gods. And there was one of the Anunnaki named Enki who wanted to grow the humans into godhead, and his brother wanted to destroy the humans. And Sasha is, let me see, can I say this? All right, okay, I'll say it. Sasha is derivative of the Anunnaki. He probably has Anunnaki genes in him. He may be an aspect of Enki, and it's going to be a very interesting conversation. Now I'm going to shut up, and Sasha, correct me if I said anything that was wrong there.
Okay, yes, I would like to make one very important correction. The Anunnaki, that means those who descended from the skies.
Can you speak closer to the microphone?
I'm just about eating it. Can you hear me now?
I hear you. We'll live with it. It's just a little low, okay?
If I yell like this, can you get me?
I hear you. It's
okay. Okay, so I pretend like we got an audience, you know, it's an auditorium and you're in the back. The Anunnaki means people who came from the sky. They came in their rocket ships. The history was recorded around 6,000 or so BCE in Sumer, but it was a history that was much, much earlier. I went to UCLA. Sitchin didn't. I just studied with Sitchin many, many years on my own. But the most important correction is this one. The Anunnaki did not, they adapted their genome to Earth to make a slave race. That was true. Well said. However, they did not use ape genes. They used help adapt their genome to Earth. They used the genes from the ancestor of Bigfoot or Sasquatch, who was known as Homo erectus, who was a fully conscious being who communicated without speaking words particularly. This was Sasquatch's ancestor. And he came to the attention of the Anunnaki because he was compassionate like they were not. The Sasquatch ancestor, Homo erectus, was letting animals out of the traps that Enki had set to study the animals of Africa. And so you were quite right about the dichotomy between Enlil, who wanted... for many reasons, wanted the slave race to be killed off, especially in Noah's flood, which they knew were coming, because his rival for being king of Nibiru, their home planet, Marduk, had made an alliance with the earthling slave, that's us, and he wanted to make sure that Marduk, who had been at one time the pretender to the crown of Nibiru, would not get a chance to, he had once built a tower at Babel, known as the Tower of Babylon in the Christian Bible, where he was going to make a lodge tower, and he was going to go for it with his allies and get what he thought was his crown in Nibiru. And he was also very close to taking over Earth. He and his son, Nabu, had closed in on the spaceport on Sinai, and and Leo had him a nuclear exchange, had the had his son Ninurta and the turncoat Nergal bomb the Sinai spaceport before Marduk could get it, and bomb the south end of the Salt Sea, which became the Dead Sea, and wiped out Sodom, Gomorrah, and some other cities on the south bank there. And yes, you're quite right about how the Anunnaki's descendants did indeed take over this planet, and to this day have ruled through their agents, and they comprise the people ahead of the pyramid, and they pretend to be against one themselves, but it's really often Marduk just opposing himself, or Nana, or Allah, and they're having their little wars. But just lately, they've made peace with each other. The Federation has intervened, and they have all agreed that this will be the age of Enki, the age of Aquarius, that's his name in Latin. And they're intent on saving Earth from the cataclysm which may occur. And that sort of brings you up to date on some of the... But that was a really nice summary, given all those years that have gone by since we wrapped.
Sasha, you know, there were moments where suddenly your volume went up. Do you happen to... Are you using a cell phone?
Yes.
Do you happen to have your hand over the microphone on the cell phone?
No, the microphone's built into the cord, and I hold this, and it's got a little round thing. If I can get my wife back here, maybe she's got a better one. Santa, he's not getting me very good. Can you fix this?
Try unplugging.
Hold on.
Try unplugging the mic and plug it back in again. Let's see what happens.
This one right here.
Okay, Sasha?
And this goes down by your mouth. Try that.
Wynn, can you hear me any better now?
I think a little bit, yes.
She just gave me a different microphone. I'm sorry about whatever is happening. This is a different microphone.
Thank you, Janet. Okay, now let me ask you an important question. On your website, you have a number of channel what is like channelings of Enki talking to people, correct?
I have the embodiment of several people have taken the Merkaba, the essence of Enki, and that's fractile. Within them, as we all have fractals with everything in the universe within each of us, that fractile has become so active that they are in their modern bodies dealing with the consciousness of Enki. And the most startling one is Michael Lee Hill, who lives in Ohio, and he's a one of the direct descendants of the Anunnaki through the League of the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois. And so he's a very, very powerful voice, but mostly I have not channelings as much as the actual words that Enki dictated to his scribe, Ed Dubskar, right after the nuclear exchange in 2024 BCE. The exchange was in 2025 BCE, and Enki dictated to his scribe for 40 days this the tablets of Enki, and Sitchin put them together in what he calls the Lost Book of Enki. And it's really a continuous story, and it tells the story of the flood. It tells the story of how the Anunnaki left the planet Nibiru 450,000 years ago, came to Earth to get gold to feed up into the environment of Nibiru, the atmosphere, and plug a hole in their ionosphere, and they, of course, wound up eating the stuff because it prolongs life when it's reduced to white powder, monoatomic. And he tells that story in great detail. He moans about the how awful it was. Not only did the nuking of Sodom and Gomorrah and the Sinai spaceport wipe out those places, but the nuclear storm that it caused blew over all Sumer, all the ancient cities of Ur and Uruk and the cities of Turkey, but it missed Babylon, Marduk's home base, and Marduk for a while ruled most of the Middle East and the Mediterranean area.
Now, Marduk, by the way, for people that are listening, we're talking about a family. people that were all related, that there were children of them, like Marduk was, whose son was Marduk?
Okay, so here's the way it came about with Marduk. Back on the planet Nibiru, an upstart, not the guy that was supposed to be king next, threw the king, who was named Lama, off the tower, because Lama was not doing anything. He wouldn't nuke the volcanoes to make ash and keep in the atmosphere. He wouldn't send anybody to get gold from Earth and the asteroids. So Alalu, this prince, threw him off a tower and said, I'm king now. Well, Anu, the guy who was supposed to be the next king, stepped forward and said, hey, you can't do that. That's my turn. And Alalu said, look, we don't need another civil war. We almost wiped ourselves out with the last one. Why don't your son, Enki, marry my daughter, Domkina, and their kid will succeed me, be the next king after I'm no longer king, said Alalu. And Anu said, I'll give it a try. I'll go for that. And so Domkina, the daughter of Alalu, the prince, who now became king, and Enki, the son of Anu, the second son, the oldest son, but not the heir, married, and they had a child who was Marduk, and Marduk was what we call the pretender, the next one. However, Anu, after a while, overthrew Alalu. And Alalu jumped in a rocket ship that was armed with nukes and went to Earth, and he aimed the nukes back at Nibiru and said, give me back my kingship or I'll blast you to kingdom come, and furthermore, I've got gold that can save Nibiru. Well, Anu got on his rocket ship and came down, and they had another wrestling match, and Anu won, but Alalu jumped up and bit off Anu's manhood, the wounded Alalu went. Alalu was then sick because Anu had been eating poison, as kings sometimes do. And so he, by biting off the manhood of Anu, Alalu was now poisoned. Anu said, bring him to Mars. Let him die there. They wound up making a statue of him at Sindonia. That's Alalu. So then you have...
Let me just say, for those of you that are... A couple things I just want to clarify. Nibiru was a planet, and it was, as I understand it, a planet that was somewhat like a spaceship, that it could be moved. Is that correct?
Nibiru was once a planet that was in the group going around Sirius C, and the Lyrans who... had developed the Anunnaki, had warned them and told them how to use the inside of the planet, what to do when the planet was going to go nova. And when it went nova, it shot Nibiru out of the orbit. It had been orbiting around Nemesis, which is the binary twin of Solaris, our sun, and sent it through to where where between Mars and Jupiter, where the proto-Earth, which was known as Tiamat, was, and it hit Tiamat and knocked it, the remainder, one great big chunk between Mars and Venus, and of course that became Earth, and the little chunks became the asteroids that orbit between Jupiter and Mars. And so Nibiru is a full-on parent planet, seven times the size of Earth. It's now visible in the skies at the in the southern hemisphere. If you look at the internet, you'll see pictures of it all over. It's here with its series of satellites. It's got about seven satellites that rotate around it. It's mostly water. It's got one great big continent. It's a full-on planet, and it's huge, and it's here now.
And it's populated, yes?
Yes, it is indeed populated.
Mm-hmm.
By big, tall people, Homo sapiens like us. We are them. Except that we have some genes from Sasquatch, from Homo erectus, and we are much more compassionate. And the Nibirans and their king were really afraid. There was millions of us and only a few thousand of them. They had been rendered mostly sterile by their nuclear wars, and most of their men had been killed, and they were really afraid of us. And when they saw how smart these hybrids, that's us, were, they realized, oh, my gosh, They're just as smart as we are. We won't stand a chance against them. We got to keep them short-lived and dumbed down and divided against each other and make sure they don't unite like Marduk tried to unite them. And so let's make sure they speak different languages and have wars with each other. And then this one of their geniuses, Nannar, one of the sons of Enlil, said, you don't have to always have war. Why don't you try debt? Get them all in debt. And so that was the way they keep the slavery going to this day. They still use war, too, of course.
Mm-hmm. And Nibiru, is that sometimes called Planet X?
That's right. It's sometimes called Planet X.
Okay. And it's on a fixed orbit around our sun, correct?
No, it never really crosses around Solaris. It crosses through the inner solar system between Mars and Jupiter, and then goes on a long, long, it goes clockwise. All the other planets go anti-clockwise around Solaris, mm-hmm. and it comes through every, first of all, it's every 3,600 years, and then one of its nearings, they're called perigees, it came into too close to Uranus, and its orbit got sped to 3,450 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And supposedly, when it comes to Earth, people say it creates havoc of sorts.
It can, but it doesn't need to. It depends on where Earth is relative to Solaris and relative to a lot of other things. But we also have extraterrestrial friends who are able to manipulate time-space, and A.R. Borden and his group and others concerned with Earth have made it so that this particular nearing of Nibiru, despite all the fear-mongering that's going on, has made it so that there will be some disturbances, but Earth basically is going to survive, and we are being protected.
Now, that's exactly what I got when I've asked questions to my sources about Planet X or Nibiru. You know, I became fascinated about this whole thing of the Anunnaki, and I got to ask some questions, and there were a couple of interesting things that I never heard anywhere else. For example, historically, as far as, you know, Sitchin and whatever other records there were, the Anunnaki were supposed to live a very, very long time.
That's
okay?
Right.
Now, according to my sources, our sources, when we talked about that, they said this is not known, but this is how it really worked. The Anunnaki were master geneticists,
yes.
And they could clone themselves. And
that's right.
What happened was they didn't really live the length of time, but they moved into a cloned body that still looked fairly young. And they gave the illusion, and this is one of the ways they kept their God self, people believing they were God, that they were immortal, they gave the illusion that they were immortal by having one clone body after another. Did you ever hear that?
This would certainly account for the facts that we now have gotten from Randy Framer and Corey Good and others, that are super soldiers that are on in the clandestine space program on Mars and near space have been regressed after their 20 years of service back 20 years earlier into another 20 years. And so
mm-hmm.
this process is certainly consistent with what we're learning from the whistleblowers.
Mm-hmm. And is Enki... You know, since we know that the soul essence of beings lasts forever.
That's right.
Where is Enki now? Do you have any idea?
He lives in under Mount Shasta. He's got a place down there, and he travels around and visits people. Neil Freer had a visit with him before he died.
Mm-hmm.
He's around. And so is Marduk. So December 21st, 2012, 13 of the major Anunnaki all came back to Earth, Marduk has renounced his war with Nannar, and they are cooperating to bring in a mini Satyuga. It's not a full-on golden age, but it's... wait a minute, here's Janet.
I just wanted to know, how do I unmute?
Janet,
we hear you.
How does she unmute?
Janet, you're unmuted now.
You're unmuted, Janet.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm really interested in what the Ra group has to say. Almost everything that I've heard from them has been most helpful.
Yes. Well, you know, in the Ra material, they talked about Bigfoot, and they said, you know about Maldek? You know Maldek, right? The planet that exploded?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So in the Ra material, Carla Ruckert's Ra material, and Carla Ruckert and I became great, great loves. She came to our Sunday calls for 5 years and just supported the energy. She loved what I was doing, and I loved what she was doing. And in the Ra material, Carla, or Ra, said that when Maldek exploded, the souls on Maldek became a tangled mass of fear. That was the words. And that they were, this is what happens in a nuclear explosion, okay? It's a multidimensional explosion, and the beings, their time clock stops at the moment of the explosion, and they lose their awareness of their individuation. And they moved, the Ra group moved many, if not all, of these souls into the way they describe it was the available bodies on Earth. And my take is that as the Anunnaki were creating these hybrids, many of them ended up, if not all of them, being Maldekians who were untangling themselves.
Yeah, the time frame is really, maybe they hung around for a while because Maldek, which after it was exploded, became the Kuiper belt of debris. And the Anunnaki didn't make the first humans. The initial ones were clones. The Adamu and Tiamat were created by the geneticist Ningishita. That's Enki's son, Enki, and his sister wife, Nimma, at 300,000 BCE, which is quite recent. You have to also remember about the Anunnaki, just like any race, they're propagandists. They only told us what they wanted us to know, and they didn't say a lot of things. But Thoth, or Ningishita, has written in his Emerald Tablets that indeed the Anunnaki leadership was taken over by souls that entered them and took their possession, and he was one of the few Anunnaki to be able to get free and work on freeing some of the others.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any idea? I would assume, since the Anunnaki used the word Elohim, on some level, some of them had an awareness of that word, but
that's
never,
right.
How did they? How
okay,
did they,
the way, yeah, the way this worked is when Nebuchadnezzar burned the second temple in Jerusalem, and he took the elite of the Jews and brought them to Haran in Turkey and to Babylon. That's where they comprised, that's where they wrote the Bible using all the ancient sources. And they had been given the job by Enlil, who was calling himself Yahweh at that time. They were trying to make all the gods into one god as though he were the only one. What is it, Jen?
I'm not unmuted. I'm trying to.
Oh, Janet has told me she's not unmuted. She wants to.
I'm talking and nobody hears me.
I hear you, Janet. We hear you.
R6.
No, no, she's unmuted. She's unmuted.
Janet, you're unmuted.
I'll try again.
She doesn't. Okay, but in any case.
Maybe.
Let me go back to this about. So the Bible, the Old Testament, was written by people who were just taking these old sources, these Sumerian sources, the Babylonian sources, Akkadian sources, and trying to make all the different gods as aspects of a single god. And Marduk did the same thing when he took over. He said, I'm Yahweh, I'm Enlil, I'm Enki, I'm all of it, they're all in me. And as a matter of fact, to this day, the modern embodiment, another one of the Anunnaki is around. Marduk has been around, and also Supreme David Rockefeller. He's not really, he was adopted by Rockefeller, who's one of the heads of FEMA, is also says the same thing. Yeah, I've got all these inside of us. Well, when you really look deeply, so do we all. We have fractals of every consciousness and every neuron and every atom and every part of the universe, including the prime creator, is all within us, and we can activate that. Our Akashic records, they may exist outside of us, but they're also inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see. Hives, are you on the line, Hives?
Yes.
Do you see Janet? Just make sure she's unmuted.
She's here, yes.
She's not muted, right?
Unmuted, correct.
Right, okay.
Janet, can you speak so we can hear you? Don't hear her.
You know what? I thought I was hearing her, but I only hear her when she gets near you. And she's being picked up.
She's in a different room.
Maybe she's muted on her own end. Her own phone muted.
Her own phone
is muted. Okay, I yelled. Uh-oh.
Shouldn't she start? Star 6, no?
No,
she'll mute herself. He's looking at the console, and on the console, she's unmuted.
Your phone is muted.
No, it's not.
Why don't you come yell in this one with me?
It's okay. I'll listen. I'll give up. But I had 20 things I wanted to say.
Here, I'm going to give this to Janet.
Okay, there was a lot of things that I wanted to interject about. You know, we get bogged down in the details, but souls are able to inhabit simultaneously in many incarnations. So we're getting bogged down with time. And
Janet, get a little closer to his microphone, okay?
Okay, I'll pull it into my mouth here. So we're getting bogged down with the concept of time, but realize what souls can do is they can send themselves down into 20 bodies or 100 bodies. We're not sure exactly how many forms souls can simultaneously incarnate within. So they could be an Anunnaki, they could be an Elohim, they could be, you know, a Gray, they could be all at the same time. And that's one thing that we've learned from our research. They could be a clone as well as be the original form. So what happened was Negashina's thoughts when he went into the halls of Menti and he discovered that he was more than just a god, you know, the little g, that he was a multidimensional eternal being.
Who did that?
Negashina thought, Toth.
Toth, okay.
He learned how to break himself down to his molecular form and travel throughout the universe. And then he came back to the halls of the Menti with the beings that we call the Galzu. There are higher evolutionary levels. He wrote about this in the Emerald Palace. And they said to him, now that you are one of us, now that you are one of the watchers, what is your work in the world? And he says, I am dedicating my totality of my existence to helping humanity evolve and become enlightened, just as I have become. So that's part of that story. The Elohim is, El means God, Elohim is the Anunnaki. So they're part of the Anunnaki. So yeah, you're right in understanding that Elohim is just another variation on some kind of language. But El is God. So in God, in the language that we have traditionally, El is I'm not an ox god.
Mm-hmm.
It's a title. It's a title of king.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Now,
I'm going to go ahead. First thing I'm going to have to get back to Sasha because I'm standing in the middle of the room here. Okay. Go ahead. Do you have a question or anything you want to ask or add?
Well, I just wanted to say that when we spoke last time at that show, I think it came up that you guys, you and Sasha, had been Anunnaki.
Right, and hold on 1 second. He's sitting here. I go into the other
phone
because at least listen, and then come back in a few minutes, okay?
Okay. Now, I'll tell you, we asked a question to our sources,
mm-hmm.
and I said, so I asked a question about Enki, and they answered that Sasha was an aspect of Enki.
I agree.
So... that's why he is so preoccupied with all of this stuff. Now, I just want to say that we're dealing with information that I'm not going to say that Sasha is 100% correct in everything he says, because we deal with information that is somewhat intangible. People are channeling, people are doing this, and it's hard to figure out, even from my own sources, exactly what's true. I test it, I correlate it, and I cross-reference it. So in general, though, I know that when I was around Sasha, I could feel, and both of you, I could feel the energy of something, a connection, a deep connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Terry and I might even be have a heritage back with Anunnaki, because we have the positive Anunnaki have a built-in desire to help humans evolve. Okay, it's like they actually probably, you could say, they got karma, because they created humans, and now they created something, and Enki took a degree of responsibility for his creation and wanted them to evolve. And the way this reads, when you go back into the history of the Anunnaki, there was an edict about non-interference in the evolution of the planet. It was, if you guys watch Star Trek, it was similar. And, you know, non-intervention. And Enlil was attempting to follow that non-intervention policy. And by creating a species that would reproduce, i.e. humans, then that was going to change the evolution of a planet. It was introducing a new species that wasn't there. And so, on some level, the Anunnaki got karma. We could say they got responsibility. Or they assumed the responsibility. The Enki side of the Anunnaki assumed the responsibility for wanting to evolve humans to Godhead. And the Enlil side either wanted to destroy humans or keep them under their thumb in some kind of slave role. And so, you go along with that? Does that sound right to you?
Well, yes and no. So there was this whole decision that was ultimately made by the entire council, even though there was disagreement about doing it or not, to create humanity. But what they realized after Noah's flood is that the Anunnaki were being manipulated by the Watchers, or the Gal'Dul, to create humanity. So it was higher dimensional beings were actually trying to accelerate the growth of the Anunnaki human, because we're all related, we're all Anunnaki in some form, because we're hybrids, you know, going back thousands of years. So, but there's been subsequent intervention and, you know, more cross-pollinating and breeding programs since the initial, you know, interjection. So we are they, and they are us, and the dolls you watch are wanting to accelerate our evolution, you know, both because the Anunnaki has kind of got stagnant. And so currently what we're dealing with is the two factions of the Anunnaki, and we, you know, most of those humanity were a bunch of corporate economic slaves, and we lived, you know, below the poverty level, or struggle with dire diseases that are all curable, and, you know, we have short-lived lives, which, you know, our total potential is, you know, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years long. And I wanted to address that earlier about transmigration of the soul, which is clones when needed. It's a little bit complicated. They could just be adding things to existing bodies, making full clones. We're not sure exactly what they're doing because there's a fine line between, you know, a biological form and a android or, you know, what do you call it, nanobot-created form. Maybe just avatars. We're all in avatars in various ways. That doesn't mean that sentient consciousness cannot incarnate into, you know, various types of avatars that have differing degrees of robotic parts, you know. So you can have a body that, you know, maybe just has a head and it's got all these mechanical arms and legs. I think we're getting more into the sixth generation that we're evolving, probably in the next 100 years or so, is exactly what we have. Some kind of biological mix with a robotic part, and so it's another form of hybridization. You know, biological with mechanical, and that's what's happening in the spacecraft. They said that the Roswell craft was alive, it was essential, it was conscious. But was it mechanical? Was it biological? You know, what's the composition? You know, it might have been a combination of those.
You know, I wanted to go back on something Sasha said. I heard him say, he was talking about Babylon and the Tower of Babylon. And he was indicating that what was going on with the Tower of Babylon was a positive thing in some level, trying to get everyone to cooperate together. And that the Enlil forces decided that was not a good thing because they were afraid of, you know, having a united human front that would take power back from them. Is that what I heard Sasha say?
I didn't quite hear what he said, but I will send him back on in a moment. We're dealing with the planet of the eighth type phenomena, right? We're ultimately afraid of our apes coming over and taking our grip. Well, the Anunnaki had the same thing. They didn't want their next generation of evolution come over and take over them. And that's still going on to a degree there on the Earth.
Now.
Yeah, they don't.
I apologize to all our listeners because I know it's really hard to hear you both. Your volumes are really low.
Okay. I'm not sure what's going on. Let me check the phone. Maybe he somehow puts the volume down low on the phone by touching it. Hold on.
Now, you just got louder, whatever you did.
Oh,
what'd you do?
He might have touched the volume on the side. Well, I'm going to go get Sasha and put him back on. Okay, so give me a second.
Now, Sasha.
Hold on, let me get 1 second.
Sasha. Gosh.
Your turn.
Yeah, let's see, where's this speaker? Wynn, can you hear me now?
Oh, you're much better.
Okay, so the deal was that Enlil of the reason that we were short-lived from the get-go, and we weren't given when Enki had enhanced, he would call it enhanced, our species at 200,000 BCE by making babies with two of the descendants of Adam. Wow, there's a terrible scratching sound. Are you still there, Wynn?
I hear it. Hi, do you notice where the scratching sound is coming from?
It's gone. Oh, there goes again.
Hi. Hello, hi. Let me go look at the console, because I can see
okay.
if it's from your phone or if somebody is open on it. But I have a question. Is what we call the...
I need to clarify about from the beginning, they were, Enki declined, was agreed with the council that we shouldn't be long-lived like the Anunnaki or we'd be more of a threat, and so that was the deal. He was open. Hello?
Wait, Sasha?
Yeah, what happened? Somebody said muted, unmuted, and everything. Was that you, Cherry?
No, I muted you because I was trying to figure out. I just muted the line that was causing all the static. And
well, we're good now.
Yeah, it was Janice's line, okay?
Ah.
So,
okay, we're good now. We're good. We're good now. So the Tower of Babylon was indeed, you did get it right, that they indeed, Marduk was uniting the humans in preparation to take over Earth and to claim what he thought was his rightful crown in Nibiru. And then when Anu abdicated, he abdicated in favor of Nannar, and Nannar sent his agents down, and the agents of Nannar, or Allah, had been fighting with the agents of Yahweh, who was in... now Marduk had assumed that he was everything. He claimed he was each one of the gods, all of them, and he played parts of himself against other parts. All of this was a big shadow play so that we would never realize that we were all, we could unite and that we no longer had to be slaves to these big guys from Nibiru.
Mm-hmm. Was Babylon under the auspices of Marduk?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, a question that I had is, what we call the negative elite today, is that connected to Enlil or Marduk?
That's right. It's totally accurate. It's connected in the following way. First, there's Marduk and all his various agents. Anu was abdicating, he made all the royals come back to Nibiru, including Marduk and his 300 followers, and they tried to isolate them, and when they realized Marduk was not going to be the king of Nibiru, which he thought he should be, he and his followers came back here, and they took over the planet, and they made sure that they ruled through their hybrid offspring, but then... When Nannar became king of Nibiru, he sent his agents, and the Anunnaki started assassinating each other, and basically they were at war until very recently when the Galzu from the Federation intervened and said, knock it off. You've got this. It's enough of this Kali Yuga. It's time to move to the mini golden age, the age of Aquarius, and we are going to go for creativity and art and peace and love. Now, the problem with the Anunnaki is that they diss women and that they are hierarchical. They think that because they have certain genetics, they're better than other people. Well, I got to tell you, everybody's light is just as good as everybody else's, and we all have something to contribute, and we're all part of the great plan of the universe, and we've all got to shine. That's what I think. There.
Were you aware that Sumer was nuked? Did you ever get that?
What I told you about Sumer is that it wasn't directly nuked, but the fallout from the bombing of the Sinai Peninsula in Canaan caused a nuclear
a windstorm which blew north and blew over all of Sumer, and it killed everyone in Sumer, including those Anunnaki who didn't flee, including the Bao, one of the daughters of Anu, all died. They all died from nuclear fallout. So Sumer was decimated by nuclear fallout, but they caused it themselves by bombing the south, the Dead Sea, and bombing the Sinai. If you look at the Sinai, it's full of tephra. Only recently have the Israelis been able to get the radiation out. But for a long time, there was no fish, there were no plants or anything. But we know that the Anunnaki know how to clean the radiation because Enki went back to Babylon, where there had been some radiation, and he cleaned it up using probably something like Kishi's machine, so that Marduk's Babylon was now the capital of the world for some time.
Mm-hmm. So theoretically, the radiation could be cleaned up.
Absolutely. We have the technology now to do it, but there, you know, the forces that control the world and want to depopulate it are sitting on this. But there was a Persian fellow named Kishi who has developed a way to take care of it. It's not just the radiation in the Pacific, but it's accumulated from all the tests that we and the Russians did above ground. That's in our ionosphere, and it's alive. And Fukushima has got a live radiation going on underneath the Earth. We are we have the means to clean it up, but the powers that be have been inhibiting it. But things are about to turn around.
I hope you're right. We'll pray for that. We do that every Sunday.
Well, you know, look at it this way. If I'm wrong and we all die, we don't have anything to worry about. But if we're right, that's cool too. So have fun now.
I agree with you.
Be kind to your fellow person right now. Live like this is the last day of your life, because at least you'll have this day.
That's right. And we are building our soul, even if the planet falls apart.
That's
we
right.
are creating a place for us in higher realms by the way we conduct ourselves right now.
Absolutely.
But you know what? We got to end the show. This has been really, really interesting. And hello, where am I?